Tonight I want to begin in Matthew's Gospel with a little story in chapter 17. It is in Mark's Gospel as well as Luke's. I'd like to touch on all three if I could. Not a story that you don't know anything about. Probably when I get done with it, you'll wonder if you've ever read it, but I'd like to look at the Transfiguration tonight and preach some thoughts tonight on the radiant face of Christ. The radiant face of Christ. The Bible says in chapter 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. They were the inner circle. They were the fair-haired boys. They were the ones that closest to him. He says he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. Now, preacher, how will I know when I see Jesus' face in heaven? Well, Matthew said his face did shine as the sun. I don't know if you notice here in these afternoons and early mornings, these fall suns, man, if you're driving, you got to pull the visor down. Well, when you see him, you'll know him. I'm going to tell you something. Your mama's face won't look like that when you see her in heaven. I don't care how good she could sing. But when you see his face, whoa, man. He said it did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. That little word light is a little word lightning. Matthew said his garment, he said Peter and James and John said, man, he looked like a lightning bolt sitting up there. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Radiant face of Christ. Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. And while he is praying, Bible says he is transfigured, the little word. It is our little word, metamorphosed. Metamorphosed. Ah, that's a big word, preacher. Oh, that's not too big in its definition. It means his insides became his outside. He was so full of God because he was all God. While he was praying, all of a sudden, all of this God that was in him came out. Well, what did they do? And the Bible says that while this is going on, that a cloud of glory overshadowed them. And it is here on this mountain that I believe Peter, James, and John experienced something that most of us will never experience. And sad to say, I'm afraid most of us are not interested in experiencing. It was a thing that many in the Old Testament experienced. But there are very few stories in the New Testament where men experience the glory of God. I think for the most part, even in our church services, in our daily walk, our private times with the Lord, we are satisfied with the abiding presence of Christ. Matter of fact, we often come over here and pat ourselves on the back that we're 2 or 3 are gathered together. There is he in the midst. Well, he had to come over here because he lives in you. I go to a lot of places. I wonder if he wished he could stay at home. But since you came, he had to come with you. The abiding presence of Christ. This is not the abiding presence of Christ they experience up here. This is the manifested presence of God. This is His glorious presence. I'm interested in that, aren't you? I began to look at these three texts, and I was interested tonight at this radiant face of Christ. Just to whom tonight would God share His glory with? I was wondering if He would even share His manifested presence with Trinity. Would He let the glory of God come down? Because if His glory comes down, He'll take the sing out of singers. He'll take the preach out of preachers. He'll take the testifying out of the testifier. I tell you, if the glory of God comes, you'll seek for a place to hide and worship Him. To what kind of life would be lived by someone? I notice in this text, if you have it before you, I feel like the life to which God would bring His glory upon would be, first of all, the towering life. The towering life. I notice in verse number 1 that He took Peter, James, and John and brought them up into a high. I did not know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. Took them up into a high mountain. What preacher is the towering life like? It is a life that must be lived above sea level. S-E-E. You must quit living by what you can see. Or God ain't coming near you. Are you listening to me? He has taken them up where they can see yesterday and today as it applies to tomorrow. They're caught up in His glory. I tell you, if you ever get in the glory, the mundane things of this earth won't mean jack to you. Are you listening to me? You'll know that you're not in the glory if the things of this earth are bothering you. Wow. Did you know tonight, is this inward became the outward, they were caught up in this cloud of glory, that He adjusted the rabbit ears of their perception. They could begin to see things clearly. I was thinking, you know, mostly everything that God ever did of a major value, He never did it low down. He always did it high up. Huh? See, you and I, we love low-down living. We love to live in the realms of how we think and how we feel. Huh? You hear people all the time, well, God, let me tell you what I think. Who gives a flip what you think? Huh? Well, I'm going to tell you how I feel. Huh? You're just going to puke your Adamic nature up all over me. See, when you get up high, you will quit thinking and feeling, and you'll begin to see what is real and what is not real. Everything He ever did, He did it up high. I was thinking about Noah's Ark. He did not have Noah's Ark to rest in a valley. He had it to rest up on Mount Ararat. The only thing I wish Jesus could have been a little bit more accurate, the Bible said that it rested in the seventh month, and it rested on the 17th day. The seventh month in the Bible is the month of atonement. And the 14th day is the Day of Atonement. If he could have had it rest on the 14th day, he could have hit Calvary dead on the nose. But he waited till 3 days later and had it rest on Resurrection morning. He wanted Noah to see clearly. All of that going on down there don't mean nothing. I love that, don't you? I'll stop right there and have a shouting spell. Huh? Brought them up into a high mountain, Mount Moriah. Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac, and there he met Jehovah Jireh, the God who will see to it all. On Mount Pisgah, Moses left from there, and the old songwriter said during a sweet hour prayer, he dropped his robe of flesh and took flight. Seems like everything he did, the shepherd's mountain in Psalms 23, he brought all of David's enemies around him. He had all of the hellish people that was against him, all the enemies of hell. And right there on top of that mountain, David and God had a picnic. He spread a table in the midst of him. He said, while we're here, he said, let me just pour some oil of the Holy Ghost on your head and fill you with joy. So you get up high, things down here don't bother you. I assure you tonight, if the things of this world are bothering you, you're a prime candidate tonight for the glory of God. And get up high where nothing don't bother you no more. I love that, don't you? Everything he did, the prayer mountain, he went apart, the Sermon on the Mount, Calvary's Mount. I even hear tell the city where we're headed for is called the city of Mount Zion. We're going up high on that mountain. I don't give a flip if they do bring the boom box and sing it. We are going up high on that mountain. Are you listening to me tonight? But you are going to have to live by sight. God forbid. You're going to have to get above C-S-E-E level. You say, preacher, how can I do that? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not. It may be over your head. Do you remember anywhere in this book where it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Baptist Sunday school teacher? It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. A strong relationship with this book will take you up above C-S-E-E level. I'm telling you tonight, if the things of this earth are bothering you, you need to get you a bigger dose. Huh? But watch this. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show. The towering life. What is it like? It is a life that is lived above sea level. But I notice, second of all, it is a life lived above the serpent level. Oh, B.B. Caldwell and Arthur Peake. If you read Peake, if you listen to Caldwell's tapes, they speak often of living on the serpent level. I told you a minute ago, we are fleshly creatures. We like low down living. We like to live where we think and we feel. I'm telling you, honey, that's where the devil will bite you. Oh, son, he's just slivering along. He's looking for thinkers and feelers. He's looking for people that are bothered by the things of this earth. He loves to get around you so he can put that stinking vision venom in you and get you to act more like yourself than like him. I love that, don't you? That's helping me while I'm preaching. But the Bible tells us in chapter 17 and verse 1 that he took them apart. The devil don't like you to get aside, get alone with God. Because he knows when you're doing that, you're putting that thinking and feeling down. Oh, he knows that gracious, they're taking the antidote to my bite. My bite ain't gonna bother them. But watch this. It's so good. I hate to even show this to you. Look in chapter 17 and verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Say, Jesus, they have gotten alone with Jesus. And it's while they're above the SEE level and above the serpent level. What happens? They get in the glory. Can I remind you of this tonight? Lucifer don't like glory. He will slither off when there's any glory around. If there's no glory, there's no manifested presence of Jesus, he can sit in a service and the preacher can preach out of the King James Bible as hot as hell you want to be. He'll sit there and smile while he's doing it. But you let glory come. He's going to slip off as well as some of you will slip off with him. Don't like that manifested presence of God. Makes you uneasy. I'm talking about the towering life, living above SEE level. I asked you tonight, have you been bothered a great deal by the things that are around you? I guarantee you ain't living by faith, you're living by sight. I'm telling you tonight, if that's true, you're living on serpent level. You remember that old brazen, that snake bit him there in the Old Testament. You remember Moses? He made that brass serpent. Don't you remember what he did with that brazen? I'll make believe this was that brazen. Do you remember what he did? He held it down low so they could see it. You know, they're laying everywhere. They've been bit. So Moses kept it down low so they can see it. It don't say that in that Bible, does it? He said he lifted it up. Ha! They had to look up to see it. Huh? I'm telling you tonight. Oh, the only place he'll come with glory tonight is on the towering life. One who decides that he wants to live above SEE level, above serpent level. You still here? Luke's gospel, chapter number 9. Let's look at the story again. Let's look at the story again. The radiant face, the glory of God coming. Not his abiding presence. We're two or three gathered together. There am I in the middle. No. Manifested presence. You can see clearly that God is here. He has manifested his presence. What kind of life would he come upon? He would come upon the towering life. Second of all, I believe the only life that the glorious manifested presence of God will come upon is the travailing life. The travailing life. The travailing life. In Luke's gospel, chapter number 9, verses 28 and 29, we have this principle of travailing. Paul mentioned this word travail. He said in his epistle that he travailed in prayer until Christ be formed in him. I was wondering tonight, when is the last time you got a burden for someone who was lost and you prayed And it was very similar to a woman having a baby. Because that's what the word travail means. It is the birth agony of a woman bringing a child into this world. I'm telling you tonight, that travailing life is a place where God likes to manifest His glory. Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. Notice, if you would, the principle of travailing. The Bible says in verse 28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter, James, and John and went up into a mountain. To what? What in the world does Jesus want to pray for? Question. My question has three possible answers. One, yes. Two, no. Three, I don't know. Here's the question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ and God the Father were one and the same person? They're amen. Look like bobbleheads. Well, you must believe that He was talking to Himself.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hear tell they've got a room at Broughton for you. If you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
He talked to Himself, and they highly exalted Him and put Him over the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's even over Obama and Hillary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And He talks to Himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to thinking, if He felt the need to pray and travail, one time He prayed, we saw that blood come out of His body. He was in such travail and agony. If He needed to do that, and He was God, how much more do we need to pray? Talking about the principle. You say, why wouldn't I want to pray so much? Prayer starves pride, and it feeds humility. You cannot spend long periods of time travailing with God and not get above sea level and get above serpent level. It'd just be impossible. Are you listening to me tonight? I was thinking about prayer. You know, in the scriptures, prayer has a progression to it. There ought to be growth in prayer. I was wondering tonight what grade you are in prayer. You know, kindergarten praying, we just began with, give us this day our daily bread. We, all the kids, start praying, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food, amen. It is a very simple prayer of asking, receiving. There's the funny thing about it, some of you claim to have been saved 30 years, that's where you're still at. You ain't ever gone no further than that right there. Still not living above sea level. Still not living above serpent level. Prayer takes a progression. Romans chapter number 8, Paul said he often prayed and it didn't have no words to it. I was wondering, when was the last time you spent presence in God? You felt like you was travailing like a woman having a baby, and you ain't never said nothing. You ain't never breathed a word. Paul said in Romans 8, he said, sometimes, he says, I don't know what to pray, and I don't know how to pray. We're talking about the guy who wrote over half the New Testament. He said, and some of you know all about praying. You know exactly how to do it. Here's Paul. He said, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. He said, but the Holy Ghost goes to groaning, making utterings in me without words. I was wondering, have you moved to that grade in your progression of prayer? prayer. Because if you have, you may be in the travailing life. That life where the glory would come upon it. I think about another great in prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first His rulership, His lordship, His kingship, and His righteousness, Matthew said, through Jesus. That righteousness is Christ. So I'm going to seek first that Christ would rule over me. Christ would be Lord over me. Why would I want to do that? Jesus said, in all these things. Isn't that what's been bothering you today, something? He said, all of these things shall be added unto you. Wow. Progression. I noticed in John chapter number 16, he said, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. I was wondering, when is the last time you travailed in God's presence and didn't ask Him for nothing? Wow. Didn't ask Him for nothing. Matter of fact, Paul said to adjoin that prayer of asking Him for nothing, he said you'll get so above sea level and serpent level that you'll start calling the things that are not as though they are. You'll start acting like you already got it and you ain't got jack. I love it. Huh? I've had God tell me to act like I had thousands of dollars before I needed it. I tell you, it's extremely hard to act like you've got several thousand dollars and you ain't got nothing. Huh? What would you do if God met your needs today? You say, preacher, if God was to meet this need, I'd shout. You ain't going to get it till you shout.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about living that travailing life, the principle of travailing. Jonathan Edwards' wife, in this progression of prayer, she said, my soul has become like a weaned child. That's what the psalmist said, like a weaned child. I was wondering tonight, in your prayer life, has your soul ever become like a weaned child? You say, what's that got to do with anything? Oh, it's got something to do with it. A nursing baby, all it ever wants is something from mama. It'll pull, it'll pinch, it'll bite until it gets what it wants. And sometimes it'll even lie to you and tell you that it wants it when it don't want it. But oftentimes after it's been weaned, all it wants is its mama. Sarah Edwards said, Lord, I don't want nothing from you. I don't want you to do nothing. I don't want you to say nothing. I don't want you to take care of nothing. I just want to lay up in your arms. I just want you. You ever moved into that realm of prayer? I tell you, if you have, you're a candidate for the glory of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said, pray without ceasing. I was wondering if you've ever graduated this area of prayer. Jonathan Edwards said in his little book on love, he said, long prayers from people often make him sick. Wow. He said he would much rather be around a man or a woman who all day long continues to launch volleys of short prayers to God. Oh my, isn't that what praying without ceasing is all about? I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, throwing volleys that way. Candidate for the glory of God. Pray without ceasing. Talking about the principle of prayer. Would you look in our text again tonight? This thing of the travailing life, not only do we see the principle of travailing, but I notice in our text, I see the power of this travailing. He says in our text, John chapter number 4, he said, "Let that day ye shall find that I am in you, you are in me, and I am in the Father." See, prayer will show you. See, we've always thought that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost are one. Oh, I tell you, when you get above sea level, you get above serpent level, you'll find that they done stuck you in there with them. And now, it's not the threesome, it's the foursome. Wow, my word. I'm telling you, hell couldn't even get next to you. You're in God the Father. You're in God the Son. You're in God the Holy Ghost. You're a candidate for glory to come. I love that, don't you? Talking about the travailing life. I'm talking about the towering life. Could I close with this thought? Mark's Gospel, chapter number 9. This little story is mentioned again of the transfiguration. Radiant face. Preacher, what kind of life would God move from just his abiding presence? Me just knowing he's there because the scripture said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. What kind of life would he come upon and I could see him clearly, face to face, long before I see him face to face? He would come upon the towering life, the travailing life. But I notice in Mark chapter number 9, he would come upon the transforming life. The transforming life. I notice in Mark chapter number 9, verse number 3, says, "And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." To get up above sea level, S-E-E, to get up above serpent level, you will see him as he is. I was wondering tonight, have you ever seen God like he is?
Oh,
bless God, I know what God's like. Are you sure? I want to put you in a corner. I'm trying to, and I'm going to try to punch you out. Have you ever seen God like he is? Because here, Mark said that he was as white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white him. He is so pure. He is so righteous. He is so holy. Have you ever seen him as he is? You'll say, "Preacher, I have." Well, here's the second thought. If you ever see him as he is, you shall see yourself as you are. Wow. I'm asking you tonight, have you ever seen how stinking rotten as the devil you really are? Because you ain't as good as you think you are. You ain't as good as these people around you say you are. You in trouble. I thought it was interesting in this text, when they saw him, the Bible says in verse 4, there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. The Bible said, Peter answered and said, "Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Can you imagine? somebody stupid enough that they gonna build a lean-to to put two guys in that ain't never died before. They've been around for 3,000 years somewhere, and God Almighty, they begin to see what they're really like. Matter of fact, Psalm 78, David said, I saw that I was nothing but wind. I was looking, studying that little word wind. So I don't even know if you could get this or not. The little word that David uses there, hot air. I was wondering tonight, have you ever seen that you just full of hot air? There ain't nothing to you. You're just a bunch of hot air. Oh. See, whenever you see him like he is, I don't know about you. I've known the Lord and the Lord has known me for almost 47 years. And I feel like tonight I am much more rotten than the day he found me. I'm so much more wicked. And the closer I try to get to him, the more I want to scrooge up close to him, the more I see who he is, I'm confronted with the fact of how rotten I am. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm asking you tonight, have you ever seen him like he is? Because if you have, you would fill this altar tonight with just a snap of the finger, because you would see yourself like you really are. I close with this thought, talking about the transforming life. What would be the key? Because tonight, here the Bible says he was white as snow. He was righteous. He was perfect. I didn't know if anybody had ever told y'all. I'm sure Brother Scott has told you, but I thought I'd tell you. Did you know it's impossible for you to go to heaven if you're not perfect? What? I said it is impossible for you to go to heaven if you're not perfect. How's that working out for you? Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, he said, be ye perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Use the same word Peter said that. He says, be ye holy even as my Father in heaven is holy. The same similar words used in Hebrews. He said, without holiness, without perfection, no man shall see God. How are you going to work that out? I love what Hebrews 10 said. He said that by one sacrifice, he has perfected his people forever. You ever see those bumper stickers? I'm not perfect, I'm forgiven. I want to blow the horn at them, say I'm perfect too. How am I going to live that life? You're looking at the text. Look back over in Luke's gospel real quick. Chapter number 9. How am I going to live that perfected life of being transformed? Chapter number 9, verse 30. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of what? Spoke of his decease. How tonight am I going to live the Christ life? Live the transformed life? I've got bad news for you. You're going to have to die to your stinking self. We can't have you no more. We can't have none of your thinking. We can't have none of your feelings tonight. You've got to decrease. We got to find some way to rub you out. Because if we don't rub you out, Jesus will never shine forth. Are you listening to me tonight? You must die to yourself if Christ is going to be seen. But I notice in this same text in verse 35, came a voice out of the cloud, this glory cloud. This is my beloved Son. If you get a chance and you're not too busy, hear it. if you're going to live above sea level, above serpent level, you're going to have to die to yourself. And you're going to have to spend much time in this book. Or you'll never hear from him. You'll never hear from him. I was thinking about this radiant face. The old songwriter said it best when he said, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I was wondering tonight, I thought we'd start over here, right here. We'll go down this side. We'll cross over and come back up here. We'll cross over here and go down this side. I'd like for you to just stand up tonight and tell us what new heights you gained today. The songwriter said, I'm pressing on. Don't look for the bathroom. I ain't going to do it. So you look at me. I got to go to the bathroom, man. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I was wondering, what kind of new heights did you gain today? Did you see anything different today? Did you see him like he is? See yourself like you are? The old songwriter said, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You say, what would be earned or enjoyed by living daily in his presence, seeking to gain higher ground? I believe we might experience these words from the old songwriter. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy holiness, stamp thine image deep on my heart. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm interested in gaining those new heights every day. I'm interested in him stamping his image upon me, erasing me, eradicating me, that he might be seen better. I was wondering tonight in closing, where are you at in the towering life? Have you been today above sea level? S-E-E. You've gotten up so high today that the things of this earth didn't matter. Did you get up above serpent level? Gaining new heights every day. Hey, how you doing in the travailing life? When is the last time you prayed in such a way that you felt like a woman having a baby? Travailing in prayer, agonizing in prayer. Hey, how are you on the transforming life? Do you see daily there's less of you and more of him? I don't know, you know, old Herod, he got John the Baptist and Jesus mixed up. He couldn't tell the difference in them. Matter of fact, Jesus asked the disciples one day, said, hey, who's folks say I am? Peter said, you know, most people think you're John the Baptist. I was wondering tonight, a lot of your friends, your co-workers, everything, get you and Jesus mixed up? Oh, that radiant face tonight. Enjoy that glory tonight. You'll see him like he is, but you'll see yourself like you are. And you won't like what you see. You want him to change you.